His game, just the energy, first touch, the races for plays up ice, his defending as a down low centerman. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. So, you know, I think when you're looking at that fourth line role, the speed he's brought and the number of puck battles he's engaged in wins, when you have the puck more, the guys around you are better.
Multiple goals that you guys scored the other night were really created by your D joining the rush and getting involved. How has this group evolved this season in terms of their execution of the D jumping in? And really, how often, if at all, have you reeled those guys in a little bit, just given what you guys have given up and maybe your forwards and what they've been able to cover?
Well, I think if you look at the D's number, they've been heavily involved. They've driven a lot of our offense all year long. Probably a disappointing part is, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking about we haven't finished some of the, or we haven't found that next play sometimes when we have great opportunities. I thought the other night a lot of great hockey plays, a lot of, you know, find that next play, find the guy down low, find the guy at the back door. We made good plays. You know, there was a few games where we had chances to turn the game or maybe win the game. We're hitting the guy in the skate or the it's an errant pass. I thought everything was connected. The passing was good. The speed we got up the ice was good, and you look like a real dynamic team when you make plays like that.
Was the team, more decisive? It's like a lot of the one-touch passes on the early goals, they just seem more decisive as a whole, I guess.
I still think it comes to execution. I think you just mentioned it. It's making, the play is there. The passing was right on cue. It was crisp. Everything was decisive. You look at our early drill today, again, we weren't driving. The middle guy wasn't driving him enough, far enough back, so the lanes weren't open. That's a part of it. When you drive that, middle lane or drive the dot lane and you clear out space or you make that offside defenseman make a decision, that's a big part of some of the success on some of those rush plays is you stress out that one defenseman. He's got to make a decision. Am I going to take this guy that's driving through, or do I have to watch the guy that's coming off my backside? And, they had trouble, with their D-zone coverage, which, you look at a couple goals we gave up in Edmonton, same type of thing. We didn't sort out the coming into D-zone, and we got scored against. And they were bang on with what they did. We were bang on the other night.
In two games now of Zucker, Cousins, and Tuck on the second line, what have you liked about that group together?
It just seems they've got some chemistry. I mean, all of a sudden with McLeod coming back in and Zucks coming back in and Cooley playing the way it is, the lines have sorted themselves out. I think that line, you look at the Edmonton game, gave us a nice goal. They're in on some good opportunities. I think it's a line that can create offense and at the same time be a really tough line to play against.
The work of the second power play unit, I know the first unit gets most of that work when it's time for power play, but the second unit has struggled. Is there something that you need to get more from them to get them going?
I don't know if they've... I mean, maybe they haven't scored. There's times where that unit looks really good, has gone out there and has done a better job than our first unit has with getting the puck in the zone, entries, getting the puck to net, but hasn't scored. I would say, finish. I think there's a couple, you look at right at the end in Edmonton, Kulik scored. It's not a power play goal, but that's the second unit. Did a real nice job. A couple times in Calgary, I thought they did a lot better job than our first unit, but didn't finish. So I think that's kind of the league the way it is. The second unit, a lot of times teams with big power play numbers, it's usually driven by your main power play unit, and that secondary unit can kick in some goals for you.
He's at a pace to get you 26 goals, but yet he doesn't have a power play goal. Is that almost shocking?
Yeah, I think it is, because he is one guy that has had some good opportunities, has been, you know, bounced a little bit around between, you know, the first unit and the second unit. You know, that second unit typically gets, you know, between 50 seconds and a minute. And there has been some good opportunities for him to finish. And you got to think that sooner or later, you know, one is going to go in. I mean, if you can score shorthanded, you should be able to score, you know, 5-on-4.
You've known Rob Gray as a player, a broadcaster, a fisherman, I mean, everything. I mean, what do you think of when you think of Rob Gray?
Well, I just think of Rob as the ultimate Buffalo Sabre that has, you know, been involved in this organization for a long time. And I think kind of epitomizes what, you know, blue-collar hockey and, you know, in the day when there was a lot of tough guys in every team, you had a guy, and I've said this before, that he created a lot of comfort for your team. You know, so great teammate. I think post-career he's been probably an even better representation of what it's like to be a Buffalo Sabre, being involved and like a do-all guy to help the team out, from his broadcasting. And, you know, you see him take the odd puck in between the glass there and, you know, doesn't miss any time. Tells you how tough he is. He even claimed that a puck in the face knocked me out, but one to the face him, he kept broadcasting. So, but I think, I don't know if there's enough you can say about, you know, what he's done since he got here and his post-career for the team and in the community.